Last week we left off with him in college. After he graduated from college, he was called into evangelism, as I mentioned. And from 1932 to 1937 were great fruitful years for him in his ministry of evangelism. Just tremendous meetings. I'm going to tell you about one here in just a minute. But in 1933, he married his first wife, Harriet, and then they began to travel in evangelistic meetings. There was a certain meeting, this is giving you just a feel for some of his meetings. Dr. Parker was had a droll sense of humor, and when he would preach, very dry, very funny man, but very dry sense of humor. And you'll get some of that as I read to you some of the things that he says here. But I'm reading from his biography. But the story of his evangelistic campaign in Brevard, Kentucky, is quite a story. And I just want to I'm reading from his autobiography, and so you can hear exactly how he says it. But the Saturday before the meeting started on Sunday, they had a prayer meeting, and about 20 people were there. He said, "When we got on our knees, nearly everyone there prayed. And this is how they prayed. Oh, Lord, please don't let Brother and Sister Parker get killed while they're here." They told him after he accepted the meetings that there was an average of one murder in Brevard every 2 weeks, and that Cleeton, which was 3 miles away, was worse than Brevard. And the church was located halfway between Brevard and Cleeton, Kentucky. So one dear old white-haired lady who lived across the street from the church said, "They shot a young man on the church steps Wednesday night. They brought him over to my house, but he was dead before he got to my house." This is unbelievable. Somebody said, "Last summer they shot an evangelist out in Nelson, 7 miles from here. His wife was at the piano, and the same bullet that killed him went through him and killed her." And he says Harriet was going to play the piano in our meetings. Somebody else said, "Yeah, and they shot an evangelist who held our meetings here last year." So as they prayed for our safety, all through their prayers, you could hear my fervent amen. We had large crowds of the meeting. The people filled the church, and they stood all around the walls and outside the doors. There were some roughnecks who stayed outside and threw rocks and bricks at the church during the service. And he says one night during that first week, he said, Pastor Wade was the pastor's name, went to the church ahead of me. And he said, "I came out of the house, and I stopped for a moment to pet the dog, and then I was running out the gateway and slammed the gate after myself so the dog couldn't get through. And when I was running that short distance," he said, "he stuck his hand in his jacket, in his pocket, his overcoat, and he took a hold of a roll of dimes that he carried." And I guess, you know, in the 30s, that would pay for things. So he carried a roll of dimes with him. And he just happened to have that in his hand. And as he went through the gate, just to keep them from falling out, as he ran through the gate, a man walked up, pulled out a gun, and said, "Hold on there." And he said, before he could get the pistol leveled at me, he said, "I just happened to have my hand on that roll of dimes." He cold-cocked him with his fist, with that handful of dimes. And as the man lay on the ground, he said, or Dr. Parker said, "Yeah, what do you want?" After he leveled the guy. And the guy stuck his pistol back in his scabbard, and he said, "Is Mr. Fleming at home?" He said, "You might go down there and see. He's probably at church." And so he went down one way to church, and Dr. Parker went the other way. He was almost late for the service. He said that night during the service, somebody pulled the switch to the lights, turning all the lights out. Pastor Wade was an older man who was 72 years of age. He went back to turn on the lights, and several of those fellows beat him up and robbed him, threw him to the floor, robbed him of his money, and roughed him up. And then those fellows all came into the back of the church in the dark. And Pastor Wade got the lights on. He collected himself, got the lights on, he made his way to the platform and told Dr. Parker what had just happened. And so Dr. Parker got up to preach, following a solo. And the solo was, "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you." And he said, "I was both righteously indignant and humanly very angry." He said, "I lifted the pulpit and set it aside and said, some of you yellow scoundrels threw Pastor Wade on the floor and robbed him. And some of you good people are praying, oh God, please don't let Brother Parker get killed. And I said, I want to tell you something. I'm not afraid of you cowards. Some of you are going around here with pistols in your pockets. You better be careful. Those pistols are pointed towards your heels. They may go off and blow your brains out. You can't kill me. I'm going to live as long as God lives." He said, "Oh, you can blow holes in my body and kill me physically, but I will live on in heaven. But if God strikes you dead, and he may do that, you will go to hell and spend eternity." Now, aren't you yellow-bellied fellows proud of yourself for ganging up on a 72-year-old man of God in the dark? May God have mercy on your rotten, perverted souls. This is classic Dr. Parker as he preached. And he was angry. And he said, I didn't know if I'd be shot, but conviction by the Holy Spirit fell on that crowd. When I gave the invitation, people swarmed forward to accept Christ. He said, through those meetings, they were only 2 weeks of, announced in duration, but we extended them for another 4 weeks. And he said this, over 700 people were saved in those five or six weeks. It more than doubled the membership of the church in the Baptist Church of Clinton. And just an amazing story of his meetings there in Kentucky. And, you know, this has happened just, you know, in the 30s and 40s. This is not something we read of, you know, something 200 years ago that's hard to relate to. Some of us knew this man of God. And just a tremendous man. And I won't spend any more time, but later he returned to Bob Jones College, and he was Dr. Bob Sr.'s right-hand man. When Dr. Bob Sr. would travel, he would teach his classes, and he handled the preacher boys class. That class after World War II, when so many men were saved during the war and called to preach, many of them came to the college there. And at the one time, that preacher boys class numbered well over 1,000 training for the ministry. And Dr. Parker was used there. He later, actually a very great tragedy, which I want to mention, in 1946, his wife Harriet was killed in an automobile accident. 3 years later, God led a second wife into his life, and they were married. And then later he would go on back into evangelism. And in 1958, God called him. We actually talked about Dr. Clearwaters a couple weeks ago and his relationship with Pillsbury Baptist College in Minnesota. And Dr. Clearwaters asked Dr. Parker to come and be president of Pillsbury in 1958, and he did. I'm glad that God led Dr. Parker to Pillsbury because he led my dad there also. Dr. Parker asked my dad to come to Pillsbury to teach under him, and that's where I got to know Dr. Parker as a little boy. But what a great leader and teacher, a role model, for preachers. Just hundreds of preachers were inspired by his example and his time there at Pillsbury and his time leading those preacher boys. Dr. Parker would eventually, I think in 1969, leave Pillsbury and go to take over as general director of World Baptist Missions in, I believe it's Alabama or Mississippi, and from 1969 until his death. And that mission board grew to over 200 families under his leadership. He went home to be with the Lord on July 14, 1994. He never wavered from his position as a separatist, a Baptist, and a fundamentalist. And as I said last week, he's just a model of what a Baptist preacher should be. But first and foremost, he was a fervent soul winner, as you could tell by some of the stories we've talked about last week and this morning. And again, I recommend his autobiography to you, which is available in the bookstore. And I just want to thank the Lord for the ministry of Dr. Monroe Parker this morning.